So far, so good.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Day that's not worth having.
people?
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Living for the weekend. It's a beautiful weekend. Tomorrow is the birthday of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. It should be something that should be celebrated and something that we should observe and discuss and talk about. He is, to me, the seminal individual in the last century, more so than any other individual, as far as I'm concerned. Man, there's a few others, but he's right there, no doubt. So hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. I know in a lot of places, particularly here in the Southeast, it is hot, but it's supposed to be a little bit better tomorrow. But regardless of whatever the weather conditions are, I hope you get a chance to celebrate either personally or with a group of brothers and sisters the birth date of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you go on the homepage, there's podcast programming. Click on that, and you'll see at the top African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be some programs that are dated and titled. Much more to come, believe me. Much more to come. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. My program, once again, 11 to 12, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 to 1, excuse me. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Right after my program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, all times I'm going to give our Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. From 9 p.m. to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Conversations Reparations. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10, Revive. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday, is it today? Today is Friday. Today it's Friday, and if it's 8 p.m., it's going to be a Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters, Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So check them out tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday from 11 to 1, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m.
to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. Every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, is the Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Warren Ballantyne Show. You can call. You can call in and give your African perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. In fact, it is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It is WeBuyBlack.com. Just go online and check it out. Buy some products. If you are in the Atlanta area and near the Greenbrier Mall, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, We Buy Black, and check them out. They have the laundry detergent and all the other things that We Buy Black produces. Africa for the African, Brother Bamani Tahemba. Brother Bamani Tahemba has been taking our people to Africa for many years. So go check him out online, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or you can give my good brother a call, Brother Bamani, at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, his last tour was in Bay, you can go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, you can go to youtube.com/Bamani2007. He is going to Ghana. No, excuse me. He's going to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to go to Johannesburg and Cape Town, and then going to Ghana December 24th to January 4th, 2020. Going to Ghana. And go online to check him out. You'll find out what it may take for you to be a part of those two trips this year going to Africa. Shrine of the Black Madonna, that's where the Marcus Garvey celebration will be held tomorrow. That's one of them here in the Atlanta area at the Shrine of the Black Madonna located in the West End. The Shrine of the Black Madonna has it all, brothers and sisters. It has furniture, it has clothing, it has artwork, it has figurines, it has Kwanzaa kits. It has the red, black, and green NASGAS shoes. And I got my shoes. I got the Unity shoes, brother. I got the Khaled Muhammad's. It's like not having anything on your feet. It's great. Khaled Muhammad. The hours at the Shrine are Wednesday through Saturday. Then I open Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday through Saturday, 12 to 7 p.m. Sunday, 1 to 3. They got books. And if they don't have the book that you are requesting, then believe me, they'll get it for you. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They have Know Thyself class on Saturdays. Know Thyself history class on Saturdays. Every Saturday, free and open to the public. 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. If you can't make that, but you still like to get the information, you can call and contact the Shrine or go to the Shrine and get the multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, it is extensive. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment, and you can pick that up at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Kwanzaa, I believe, it's Kwanzaa. And the Marcus Garvey celebration, well, because they have Kwanzaa at the Shrine. Okay, maybe that's what mixed me up. The Marcus Garvey celebration will be tomorrow and from 12 noon on. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, my good brother, Kazim Dejo Ajamu, is the proprietor, and the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He has books, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff. Check him out. He also has the NASGAS shoes and the gas shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. So check him out at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Their Thursday night broadcast went off very well last night, and that's 9 p.m. 9 p.m. on Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast for Us Lifting Us. The number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and become a member of Us Lifting Us. Buy some of the products. Buy some coffee, teas, or whatever. Support Us Lifting Us. The economic cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. So we pulled our money together and we created Cafe Ulu here in Atlanta in the Sylvan Shopping Plaza. 2036 Sylvan Road. Open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5. And we have coffee. That's right. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopia, where coffee was born. We have various other coffees. In fact, we have a special. We have Jamaican coffee for honoring Marcus Garvey. That's right. We'll have Jamaican coffee with just, you can come in and taste it. Right? We're not selling it yet, but you can come in and taste it and buy anything else that you wish right there at Cafe Ulu, because everything that we do at Cafe Ulu, everything that is produced by us. It is produced by us. We look nobody. We look nowhere outside of ourselves. Everything internally produced by us, Cafe Ulu. Go online at cafeulu.com and go online to usliftingus.com. Another product we sell is Ambrosia. It's a delicious, outstanding vitality drink. The creator is Brother Novak Young. It is outstanding. It is really good. Alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Akabin Institute. The Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters. Akabin Institute. They need your support consistently, and they deserve it. Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, educating our young warriors. Please make your cash donation. Please make your donation. Send check or money order to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. 30310. And if you want to give money through PayPal or Cash App, you can do so as well. Sanjay Haiti, Sister Gabby, and she has an outstanding organization, Sanjay Haiti. Please go online and check it out. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Look at the beautiful work she is doing in the northeast rural area of Jamaica. Outstanding. Black Talk Radio. BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Brother Scotty Reed has done an outstanding job. This is the number one Black Talk podcast in the nation, Black Talk Radio. And we need support. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Music Media Fund. Please go online. Go to the BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. You don't have to go nowhere else. Right on that page, just scroll down a little bit onto your right, and you'll see the donation button. Click on that and make your contributions, $5, $10, $25, $50, whatever that you can give to the Black Talk Radio Fund. There is a goal, and I want to make sure that they meet that goal. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Tomorrow, August 19th, I know they're excited in L.A. for the Black Consciousness Caravan. Brother Jabari Jamani has done an outstanding job of organizing venues within. They're not venues. They're community organizations within the L.A. area, and they're going to each organization on the bus. They get off, and they have whatever that organization is presenting. If it's Caribbean food, they'll have Caribbean food, music, conversation. Get on the bus, go to another. Maybe it's African food. They'll have African food, music, some conversation, and so forth. Yeah, the Black Consciousness Caravan, Brother Jabari Jamani. And the number to call is 323-292-5550. 323-292-5550. Check my good brother out. Marcus Garvey celebrations going around. Like I said, here, it'll be here in Atlanta at the Shrine of the Black Madonna in Milwaukee. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, excuse me. In Milwaukee, the Marcus Garvey celebration will be at the African American Women's Center, put on by Africans on the Move. This is their 30th year of putting on the Marcus Garvey celebration, and we wish them well and hope you have a great attendance. And, well, wherever you are, check it out. If there is no celebration, create one. If there is not one this year, get together with brothers and sisters to organize for next year and the years to follow. You know, I've said, before I get into the Enya Say Some, I just want to say this right quick. I've said this, and I'll continue, that if we don't celebrate ourselves, if we don't acknowledge who we are, that's like May 25th should be the most important day for us as African people globally. African Liberation Day should be a day that we focus in on how can that really truly be a reality, because Africa is not liberated and Africans are not liberated. But we need to come together and discuss that. Not just what Kwame Nkrumah did, and you know how much I love and appreciate Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and all the other Pan-Africanists, all the other brothers and sisters who believe that Africa should be independent, should be self-determining, should be liberated, should be sovereign. And so, create it. Work towards it. Put emphasis and effort behind it. Continue to do it. And not just for that day. Use your heart and your mind to be that way 24/7, 365. We need each other to build a new reality for African people. We must develop a new paradigm. And that paradigm is the awakening of African people. So African Liberation Day, Marcus Garvey, all the people should be acknowledged and celebrated for those who have done. Malcolm X, El Haj Malik El Shabazz. I know about Dr. King and Dr. King's birthday and how he's been co-opted. I understand that. And but truly acknowledge that and celebrate that as well. But there's special emphasis on, because we need to move in the direction of liberation. The Enye Say Sim, a book of daily revolutionary thought. Yesterday, August 15th. Critical consciousness is not banned. It is simply smothered behind an ever-growing avalanche of shit. What that means is that if the destiny of the stuff doesn't blind you, then the stink will surely knock you out. Kyrie T.H. Cheatwood. In this cultural context, where systematic inequality betrays the lie of a democratic society, the oppressor science must ask and answer pressing economic questions in such a way as to construe asymmetrical relationships into balanced and equal ones. Without this, the illusions of fairness and blameless exploitation of oppressed people are exposed. Under the weight of such a political science, even if the oppressed find the cause of their oppression to have originated with and to be maintained by their exploiters, their confusion over universalization of fault often leads them to believe that their ongoing abuse should be ignored and forgiven. Against their best interest, they are led to accept that they should be able to see beyond their maltreatment to what is good for humanity as defined by their exploiters. They do this even when the external cause of their condition systematically undermines the creation or implementation of any solution that would benefit them, the source of their destruction, and those who gain advantage from their forced disadvantage. If they are different, become irrelevant because of their internalization that we are all headed in the same, we are all headed in the same direction. That the means, no matter how self-sacrificing,
for others' privilege will somehow justify their end. Self-hatred runs deep. Self-hatred runs deep. Affirm, I consistently move toward a positive balance and equilibrium. Affirm, I consistently move toward a positive balance and equilibrium. You know, we didn't, what's that line they say? We didn't come here on the same boat, but we're all in the same boat now. No, we ain't. No, we ain't. This is the crackers' boat. This is the Europeans' boat. Man, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it's hard when you talk about these things and see what has been done not to use some kind of expletive in your frustration. But I have to refrain, and I got to, and I will. August 16th, if you know about a knife, the knife won't cut you again. The African proverb. Some of us only have to be cut once to know the sharpness of the thorns we become entangled in when we lose our way. The independent efforts of those who operate in sync with the rhythm of our African center have kept us close to home. These feats of incredible heroism in the face of enemies without and within, performed by those of us who refuse to submit to a seemingly divinely ordered white supremacy, strengthened us. Nation builders all, their efforts have been consistently grounded in African tradition, in the acelic foundations of African people. They have been nationalists in political orientation, pan-African in outreach and culture, in ideological formation and definition. The importance of tradition in grounding a people in their culture and possibility is not a question. The only question these movements have been forced to answer is how to do this in the face of a horrific, ongoing anti-African assault to the core of our very being. Their only frustration comes from figuring out how to convince African people to love, be, and empower themselves. Re-Africanization and nation building transforms Africans into a traditional selves in power. As we work toward this state of being, we have to bear in mind that transformation is a process, or rather part of a process or stage in redevelopment. It exhibits our historical pattern of a cycle that is running us to ourselves, that is returning us to ourselves. We must return to ourselves. Affirm, I know about the knife. It will not cut me again. Affirm, I know about the knife. Tomorrow, August 17th. A healer needs to see beyond the present and tomorrow. He needs to see years and decades ahead, because healers work for the results so firm that they may not be wholly visible until centuries have flown into millennium. Aikwe Arma. We try to pretend that this culture is progressing toward a new, symptomatic, peaceful, finally human age, a new humanity. Blindly, forgetful of today and yesterday, we put all our energies into acting as if this insanity is sanity. Having brought the European lie of progressive social evolutionism, we see Western society as having arrived from a callous, violent, inflexible barbarism to an enlightened, reformed civilization. We believe that they have somehow learned to be human. We try to pretend this sickness is normal and is the best we have ever been or can be at this point in our evolution. We try to convince ourselves that this situation is somehow normal, somehow not so ugly and devastating and dehumanizing. And if not quite normal, it is steadily through, often impeccable for the jaundiced eye, moving toward normalcy. Some have thought to create an independent reality outside of this pale, dying matrix, but most sought to reform it into a more egalitarian state without modifying its heart. The latter have done much to superficially move us toward the murderous white desert. These are not our healers. They are the champions of our destroyers. For anything moving us in this direction is against us. Affirm, I see beyond the present and the tomorrow. Affirm, I see beyond the present and tomorrow. Yeah, there's many of our people who truly try to believe that somehow, some way, we can make this happen for us, that we can sensitize those Caucasians and then make this a new reality for us. And then comes the reality of, no, it ain't, and no, it can't, or no, it won't. Yeah. It is Marcus, the eve of Marcus Garvey's birthday, and I'm going to turn to my good brother and friend, Brother Conrad Wuerl, and wish I got to have him on. He's busy today, I understand. But there's two pieces that he wrote as the columnist in the Crusader, the Chicago Crusader. Yeah. So I'm going to read these two pieces, one before the break and then one after the break, and then hopefully you'll come online and have questions or comments or concerns and talk about Marcus Garvey, Marcus Garvey's birthday, or anything else you may want to talk about. Honoring the legacy of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Each August that we celebrate Marcus Garvey's birthday, we should revisit his contributions and study the work of this great Jamaican African hero. Garvey left a rich historical legacy for us to study and utilize in our continued quest for independence and liberation as African people. Since the Paris Peace Conference, the founding of the League of Nations and the United Nations, several historic and precedented settings, appeals, petitions, and complaints have been submitted to the international community speaking for African people in the United States and the world. On December 10th, 1918, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA, convened a mass meeting of more than 7,000 people in the Palace Casino in New York to discuss and ratify 9 peace aims to allied democracies of Europe and America and to the people of democratic tendencies of the world assembled at the peace conference, the Paris Peace Conference. Garvey and representatives also attended the founding meeting of the League of Nations in 1920. It was in the spirit of the pioneering international work of Garvey and the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the NIA, on behalf of African people, that the Durban 400, a delegation led by the December 12th Movement, International Secretariat, and the National Black United Front, traveled to Durban, South Africa in August 2001 for the United Nations World Conference Against Racism. I remember in some discussions, because of course that's August, and then of course September 2001, 9/11 happened, and all of the juice that we had at the time coming out of that was derailed by that incident, by that inside job incident. Oh, just see some good stuff just recently. I mean, there really is a push now to go to the truth of what happened. Because, I mean, now as people are starting to wake up and their intelligence has just been so deeply insulted. So we'll talk about that when that time comes. We're talking about Marcus Mosiah Garvey. It was at the conference that the transatlantic slave trade and slavery was declared crimes against humanity and that reparations are owed to African people. It is in this context that African people's demand for reparations continue. This serves as a tribute to the legacy of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And by doing so, recognizing that there are crimes against humanity, there is no statute of limitations. None. Marcus Garvey was born August 17th, 1887 in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, to Marcus and Sarah Garvey. Marcus Sr., his father, was a descendant of the Moors. The Moors were Africans who managed to escape captivity when they reached Western shores by jumping from the ships or by fleeing and establishing well-fortified communities deep into the Jamaica interior. Marcus's mother, Sarah, was said to be of extraordinary beauty and possessed a gentle personality. She was also said to have been a deeply religious person. Garvey left school at the age of 14 and became an apprentice printer in Kingston. He worked for a private company and eventually became a foreman. At the age of 20 in 1907, although he was a member of the management, Garvey led a newly formed printers union strike. The company promised Garvey big rewards and benefits if he would discontinue his union organizing, but Garvey refused. He was fired and blacklisted by the private printing companies of Kingston. This experience intensified Garvey's political curiosity concerning the conditions of African people. It was at this point in 1909 that he formed the National Club and his publication, Our Own. From this point forward, Garvey decided to devote his life to the upliftment of the African people. He published his first newspaper, The Watchman, which gave him an opportunity to express his emerging political views on the plight of African people. While unable to gain support for his organization, Garvey began to travel. He spent time in Costa Rica, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Honduras, Colombia, and Venezuela. These travels gave Garvey an opportunity to observe that whenever African people and Caucasians were in close proximity, the African people were on the bottom. It defies, as Dr. Bobby Wright said, it defies all laws of probability. Garvey noticed that at the turn of the century. Dr. Bobby Wright said that in the 70s. And it's still that way, well into the 21st century. Wherever they are and we are, they're in a position of dominance and control, and we are in a subservient position. Garvey continued to travel, and in 1911, he went to London. He was able to test out his public speaking ability on the condition of African people worldwide at the famous Hyde Park Speaker's Corner. While in London, Garvey met the editor of the African Times and Orient Review, Druss Muhammad Ali. Ali, an Egyptian scholar, introduced Marcus Garvey to many ideas that played an important role in his future thinking. This background gave Garvey the tools he needed to become one of our true 20th century freedom fighters. Garvey arrived in New York, in Harlem, on March 16th, 1916. By 1919, the UNIA ACLU, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, and African Communities League, which had a membership of over 3 million people with more than 300 branches throughout the African world community. Perhaps Garvey's greatest contribution to the upliftment of our people was his ability to find a formula for organizing African people around the African principle, the greatest good for the greatest number. The greatest good for the greatest number. I'll comment on that later. This was reflected in the first International Convention of African Peoples of the World in Madison Square Garden in New York in 1920. Over 25,000 African people from all over the world witnessed the selection of the red, black, and green as the colors of the provisional government, our flag. I talked about that Wednesday in the creation of the flag. His second wife, Amy Jacques Garvey, wrote the poem about the flag, this flag of mine, and how it represents. And it came out of the idea from some Caucasians who were in vaudeville, talking about everybody has a flag but the coon. And Marcus Garvey understood that we need something to substantiate us as well, and developed the red, black, and green. 25,000 people from all over the world. In this context, Garvey and the UNIACL had established an economic arm, the Negro Factories Corporation, NFC, with cooperative stores. Let me repeat, with cooperatives. These are cooperatives pulling our resources together, making sure that we help fund what we begin. Cooperatives, restaurants, steam laundry shops, tailor shops, dressmaking shops, millinery stores, you know, a mill, lumber, and so forth, a doll factory to manufacture African dolls, and a publishing house. Garvey also formed a steamship corporation. The goals and objectives of the UNIA had now become clear to the world. The Garvey movement and the UNIA had become a threat to the Caucasian world, to the European world. The goals and objectives of the Universal Negro Improvement Association had become clear. We want to do for ourselves, and because of that, they are a threat to the Caucasian world. With the cooperation of Auntie Garvey, Negro leaders, Garvey was eventually charged and convicted of mail fraud for selling stock in the African Star Line, the ships. On February 8, 1925, Marcus Garvey was arrested and convicted for mail fraud and imprisoned here in Atlanta, Georgia. With a great movement of support by his followers, Garvey was released from prison in 1927. Immediately following his release, he was deported from the United States and sent back to Jamaica to continue his work. He continued to travel, and while in London, on January 10th, 1940, Garvey collapsed into a coma and made his transition into eternity. The Garvey movement was one of the greatest mass movements of African people in the world. Although the external and internal forces and enemies of Garvey caused his demise, the ideas of Garvey and the UNIA, ACL, are still alive. You may or may not have a chapter in your location. If you don't, contact you, because the UNIA is still in existence. And you can start one. We need to revitalize and resurrect the spirit of Marcus Mosiah Garvey at every opportunity. We need to revitalize and resurrect the spirit of Marcus Mosiah Garvey at every opportunity. One special way to honor the memory of Marcus Garvey is for you to proudly display your flag tomorrow. If you don't have a store where there's flag, if you're in Milwaukee, you can go to Brother Earl Personality and get you the red, black, and green. Here in Atlanta, there's a number of places. You can go to Afrocentrics. You can go to the Shrine. You can go to a number of places and get you the red, black, and green and fly your flag. Put it out on the banner. It could be small. It could be large. the spirit of the Honorable Marcus McGarvey. The spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey is needed now more than ever before. I don't know, the last couple of days, thank you, Brother Conrad, we'll get to the other article. The last couple of days, I know I've been sounding kind of solemn. I guess because, you know, when you realize, you know, just like Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson's a brilliant man. And one thing, because he's one of our people who I admired and loved, and seen many pictures of him and never seen him smile, I thought back then that maybe he had some whack teeth or whack smile or, you know, just didn't look right or whatever. No, but I understood as I read Carter G. Woodson, there was nothing to smile about when you do to a people what has been done to us and what continues and what continues to be done to us. It is nothing to smile about. Ain't nothing funny about destroying a people's history and culture and right to freedom based on a false concept of their belief that because they are white, they have to rule over others. So, you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And give us your perspective on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and how important this day is and what it means to you and some of the things that you know about Marcus Garvey or have learned. And because it is. You know, when you think of, you know, and if you want to go into some depth, there's a lot of ways to go into some depth about Marcus Garvey. You know, you just Google him and bam, all that information is right there. You want to go to Wikipedia, that's there. In fact, Marcus Garvey's is long and in depth. Talks about his marriages. I mean, in fact, Amy Ashworth Garvey, based upon when I was reading last night, I was like, man, she was a little something. And of course, it was Amy Jock Garvey that was really understanding and really truly loved Marcus Garvey and helped him tremendously. Helped him tremendously. We have a caller, 602. 602, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshie.
Aha, my good brother Marcus from Jamaica.
Yes,
indeed. The birthplace of Marcus Mosiah Garvey.
I'm telling you, Garvey name reverberate for me more than Jesus Christ.
Ashe.
I'm telling you.
Ashe.
All right. Garvey name reverberate for me. You know, the old people used to have a thing where they said, Garvey aim it twice and miss. It was a little joke, you know, but both those women, though, you know, in the end, they shine, you know, Amy Garvey and Amy Asher Garvey.
Yes.
In the end, you know, they shine. You know, a lot of people don't realize the impact that Garvey had, not just on black people, but the world.
The world.
The world, because a lot of people don't realize that Mao Zedong.
Yes.
Chiang Kai-shek.
Yes.
That influenced from Garvey.
Yes.
They said, wow, that makes sense. Asia for the Asiatic. That makes sense. They
yes, took it does.
And they ran.
They took it and ran with it.
Even Adolf Hitler. Even Hitler, he said, Germany for the German.
Yeah.
He took it, ran with it. He said, Indonesia. One day I was on the train traveling in New York, and I saw an Indonesian woman on the train, and she had on red, black, and green. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I said, what the hell is Indonesian woman got red, black, and green for? Only to find out that Indonesia's Independence Day is Marcus Garvey's birthday. So the impact that Garvey has and continue to have is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw in Ghana, and I have, you know, this may rub some people wrong, but I have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw where they had Du Bois, one of Garvey's biggest enemies initially, when Garvey first started, because he used to attack Garvey, you know, Carl Garvey, you know, little fat, short, fat black man attack Garvey's physical characteristics.
Right.
You know, and he was a nemesis to Garvey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, at the end of his life, when the U.S. government indicted him, that's when he fled to Ghana. See, a lot of people don't know that part. They don't know that part about Du Bois.
Right.
See, at the end of Du Bois' life, the U.S. government indicted him, and he fled to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to admit, he said, you know, Garvey was right.
Right. Garvey was right.
Garvey was mm-hmm. right. And Garvey is still right.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's so right.
Our people need to get on the bandwagon because, look, there ain't no solution here for black people.
No.
400 years is long enough to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. Marcus, you're right. 400 years is long enough. I mean, and we still holding out hope that somehow these Caucasians are going to have some damn epiphany, some awakening that they're finally going to admit. And then, you know, no.
They're not. Because if there was any human relationship to be worked out, we could have done it in 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have no intention of working out any honorable relationship with black people here.
And,
you know,
and
everything we try to set up a foothold in America.
And the other thing is the mentality that they believe that they were justified and right in doing what they did, and that we should be thankful to them for doing what they did. We shouldn't be talking about reparations and any kind of correctness of what happened to us. Just shut up.
Yep, just shut up. Just shut up. And when you speak out against it, they label you a racist.
Right.
They turn it around and say, you are racist. You shouldn't talk about that. Don't talk about it, you know, because you're being mm-hmm. racist. You know, so they reverse the narrative, you know. So, look, Garvey was right then. Garvey was right now. Garvey will be right in the future. As you said, look for me in a whirlwind.
That's right.
I tell you, Garvey is our first national hero in Jamaica. And mm-hmm. they taught us nothing about Garvey in school. It's when I came to America.
Wow.
That's when I found out about the impact that Garvey had. They didn't teach us nothing about Garvey. Let's say Garvey is the first national hero. That's it. Boom. That's it. You know, they taught us about the other local national heroes, Paul Bogle, George William Gardner. But Garvey, they just, you know, even Independence Day, Jamaica had some big independence celebration recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't have nothing for Garvey. The government don't say, you know, we lift up Garvey. You know, that's why I mentioned to you that Sunday, you know, Muta Baruka on IRFM, they're going to be live streaming on YouTube. They've been doing that for 26 years.
Beautiful.
26 years they've been doing it. So I have noticed in the past 2-3 years, there's a resurgence of Garvey. There's a resurgence. So I am hopeful. I am, you know, I am not as dismal as I was before. And maybe Trump has something to do with it too, because our people seem to only respond when we are mm-hmm. pushed into the wall. You don't mm-hmm. have to be your back not and against the wall. They can push us into the damn wall. So our time has come. We are on the rise, and you know they can't stop it. They can't.
They can't.
Yeah,
they can't.
And that's what's driving them.
You know, and all the Negroes that they're going to have can't stop it. All the agent provocateurs, none will stop it.
I'm telling you, it's on the rise. So, mm-hmm. my good brother, you keep on keeping on, because we gonna win this struggle.
That's
you know, come for how long we have been on this planet, the little time we're going through these people here. Mm-hmm. You know, the name of this the thing is he who lives the longest win.
Now
we
gonna right.
win because we have been here the longest. We know how to survive.
We so, will win.
So you keep on keeping All right. on, good brother. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much. Enjoy tomorrow, Brother Marcus. Enjoy tomorrow's day.
Yes.
All right,
yes,
then.
Good, brother. You take care.
All right, peace. Brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. Join us. Give us a call as we celebrate the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Peace, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. African Perspectives every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times they're going to give are Eastern. Right after African Perspectives on Mondays and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. That's followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then on Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, the Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday, at 10 p.m. Eastern. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, too, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness airs every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. My good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, will be informing the community what things need to be done and so forth. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And the number to call is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. We're here today celebrating the birthday tomorrow of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. There's a piece here in the, there's a lot of information on Garvey, brothers and sisters, that you can go to the computer and get a number of things here on Atlanta Black Star. And, you know, Atlanta Black Star was, man, for me, when I first started doing these radio programs, I'll be on the radio 5 years, you know, started doing it. That was one of the sources, along with the Final Call newspaper, that I used a lot of times to formulate the discussions that we would have, you know, concerning what's happening with African people and the things that we need to do. And this article is from 2015, August of 2015. Why Marcus Garvey's teachings are as important today as they were in his time. It is often said that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. In the case of African people, there are leaders who, during troubled times, provided templates for self-empowerment, models for us to emerge from our oppression and build our own institutions. And it is incumbent upon us to learn the lessons that they laid out before us, rather than reinvent the wheel. One of the foremost examples is Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the father of African nationalism and Pan-Africanism. Garvey's teachings are important today as they were over 100 years ago when he founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA. On July 20th, 1914, Garvey founded the UNIA, which, according to historian Lawrence Levin, was the broadest mass movement in African history. Inspired by Booker T. Washington, Garvey originally established the UNIA in order to provide an economic and educational uplift for African people. Garvey came at a time when people of African descent sought relief from racism and colonial oppression. In the U.S., Jim Crow segregation and the subjugation of African people, American African people, were the order of the day. The post-Civil Rights Reconstruction era had been rolled back to make way for the continuation of a system, a captive system under a new name. America was witnessing the height of lynching when African bodies, men, women, and children were subject to violence by Caucasian vigilante mobs. W.D. Griffin's movie in 1915, The Birth of a Nation, glorifying the Klan, helping to bring about a resurgence of the Klan and its refounding in Stone Mountain, Georgia that year. In fact, when I was my second marriage, me and my ex-wife and my daughter, we were hanging out in Atlanta and went up to Stone Mountain. I think it's the following week they had a big Klan rally up in Stone Mountain. This is in the 80s. This is the 80s, the early 80s. At the height of UNIA claimed a membership of over 3 million people with branches in nearly every country in the Caribbean, Latin America, and Sub-Saharan Africa. In 1920, the organization held its first international convention in Madison Square Garden, drawing over 25,000 people from around the world. In 1919, Garvey incorporated his Black Star Line in an effort to establish trade and transport passengers throughout the African diaspora. And by 1920, his newspaper, The Negro World, had a circulation between 50 to 200,000 people. Garvey was about the business of nation building. He established a form of African nationalism based on unity, cultural pride, and autonomy, freedom, sovereignty. Where is the black man's government? Garvey asked. Where is his king and his kingdom? Where is his president, his ambassadors, his country, his men of big affairs? I could not find them. And then I declared, I will help make them. Further, Garvey adopted the term black is beautiful decades before it became widely accepted, an understanding that in order to succeed, a people had to feel good about themselves and have a positive self-identification. Further symbols of importance, Garvey and UNIA developed the Pan-African flag, the red, black, and green. As Azzy Powell noted in History and Meaning of the Red, Black, and Green, the flag was created in 1920 in response to a popular 1900 coon song, Every Race Has a Flag But the Coon, which helped popularize the word coon in the American vocabulary. Damn. Show me the race of a or nation without a flag, and I will show you a race of people without any pride. In song and mockery, they have said, every race has a flag but the coon. How true, yay. But that was said of us 4 years ago. They can't say it now, said Garvey. As Garvey notes, the colors of the red, black, and green, the red, the blood that unites all of African, was shed for our liberation. The black, the people whose existence as a nation through a not nation state is affirmed by the existence of the flag. And the green, the abundant natural wealth of Africa. Decades before J. Edgar Hoover waged a full-scale war on African leaders, American African leaders, to prevent the rise of a messiah, he helped bring down Garvey, whom he described as a notorious Negro agitator, described by some as a personal vendetta. Certainly, Hoover was concerned about Garvey's expanding influence and the power of his movement for African people. Looking ahead one century, 1 year since Garvey founded the UNIA, we need to learn from his teachings more than ever. Consider the problems we continue to face throughout the African diaspora, including poverty, economic exploitation, and conflict, inner conflict. In the U.S., poverty plagues the American African community at an alarming rate, and American African unemployment seems to be permanently remained at double digits of the whites. Despite legislation which enumerated from the civil rights movement, American Africans are not free and have no power, including power over their own communities. The larger society will not employ us, but will imprison us, as they have by the multitudes, separating our families and destroying our communities as we are used as raw materials for prison factories. And whether by police, the courts, or vigilantes, the society continues to kill American African men, women, and children in the streets, in police cars,
in jailhouses and everywhere else, all because we have no power, and they know it. Without unity and self-help advocated by Garvey, we will never achieve true freedom. The red, black, and green of the UNIA flag represents the struggles and achievements of African people around the world. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We have a caller. Caller 678. 678, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Ralph. How you doing? Ralph. I'm doing fine. How are you today, brother?
I'm fine, man. Good. And, you know, the more and more I read about Marcus Garvey and hear about Marcus Garvey, the man was brilliant.
Oh, he's outstanding. Yes. Yes, he was.
He was brilliant. And that was something deep that you mentioned, because a lot of people always ask me why I don't smile. What's wrong? What's wrong? Damn, don't you see the same thing I'm looking at?
Yeah.
The condition of our people. That's right. You know what I mean?
It ain't nothing to smile about. It ain't funny.
It ain't nothing to smile about, brother. No. I mean, the condition of our people. We're actually prisoners of war and don't even know it.
That's right.
You know? So, you know, that was very deep, man, what you were saying, because sometimes, I mean, they want us to sound jovial. And we do need some humor every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need it. And I will find me some kind of comedy or something just to get me out of those.
That's right.
But once we take a dose of reality, brother, it's nothing. Like you said, it's nothing to smile at, the condition of our people. You know, I hate harping on this, but I'm going to continue to harp on it. Anytime, you know, I watched that new HC5, Hidden Colors 5.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And
what's the focus of that one? What's the focus of that one? Hidden Colors 5.
Well, it was supposed to be called The Art of Warfare, but it never got to that. You know, James Smalls was in it, some brother holding the ox in his lap the whole time. I never really got his name, and plus I was disagreeing with him the whole time. I'll be honest with you, brother. But, you know, I like Sister Sahara's eyes.
Sahara's eyes, Ali.
Interesting
point. Oh, yeah, Sahara's eyes, always.
But the star of the show was Jesse Lee Peterson.
Jesse Lee Peterson is on Hidden Colors 5. Tyreek Nasheed got that Negro on Hidden Colors 5?
He had plenty of points. He was nothing more than the Jesse Lee Peterson that me and you and everybody else have come to know. He was on Hidden Colors. He had a lot of airtime. Matter of fact, he took him home. And I said, my wife, she never seen him before. I said, what, you never seen this guy before? She said, no, what is he, what's going on with him? I said, oh, get your popcorn and your, I said, the only thing they're missing is.
The minstrel.
What's the guy named? Elder. Larry Elder.
Elder.
But I said, what is he doing putting this.
Negro.
Oh, man.
And I'm using that word. That's a good one. But, I mean, you could say a lot about that cat, man. Oh, he is sad. He is sickening.
And he actually, I believe this. Now, you can see with Larry Elder, he's doing it for a paycheck. This guy, I think he actually believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got me convinced, and that's the sad part, brothers. So that's nothing to smile about when we got people like that in our midst. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I never heard that thing about the only ones without a flag is a coon. I never heard that one.
Yeah.
That you educated me today on that one, man.
That's how the red, black, and green. That's how the red, black, and green came into existence. And apparently, around the turn of the last century, at 1900, around there, a minstrel show came in, and I read that, and that's why Marcus Garvey, I guess he heard it and said, "Hey, he's right. We got to have a flag. We got to have something that represents us." And he came up with the red, black, and green. Now, what upset me a number of times in a few situations was Malana Karinga, the brother who created Kwanzaa. He presented, because the red, black, and green is an integral part of Kwanzaa celebration, you know.
Yeah,
But he came up with a different color arrangement when he sold out to the U.S. Postal Service in that Kwanzaa stamp. And I was pissed. He was in Milwaukee, yeah, man. He was in Milwaukee when he unveiled that stamp. And I'm quite sure he did it in other places, man. And I was pissed, you know. But that's the kind of thing that Melania can do or does.
Well, yeah, no, I've looked at some things about Karanga, and I sort of stay my distance, which what I called in for. You know, I found myself disagreeing with a lot of our scholars, Brother Oshie.
Okay.
A lot of them.
Okay.
You know, like you know, Neely Fuller and Francis Scott Wilson.
Or Francis Cress Wilson.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah, Francis Cress Wilson.
Let me put it this way. Wow, they got a speed trap up here. I couldn't believe that.
Watch out now.
They actually had a speed. Yeah, they had a speed trap on it.
Okay.
But look, but this is what I disagree with her. She said, and you know, you got this one radio host that has a show that comes out of Washington, D.C. Anytime you bring up one of these traitors like Elder or Jesse Lee Peterson or Sharpton or any of these people, they say, oh, no, we mustn't attack each other. We gotta look at the system behind it. We gotta, you know, and I say, like, well, wait a minute. Every other race or group deals with their traitors in a way that traitors should
That's
be.
That's right. They should be dealt with. I agree with you.
You know, I mean, Mao Zedong, he killed off the heroin addicts when you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to get rid of these people, you know. But we want to worship ours like Barack Obama and these, and I would say about 75% of these black politicians. We want to worship them and put them on a pedestal where they don't belong. And some of these ministers up in these pulpits on Sunday. We got to deal with those people if we ever want to get somewhere. But if we want to continue this madness of not being able to smile when we look at our present reality, let's just accept them and let's just go about our business and let's be these people without a flag. Because until we get rid of those, man, you can't even really deal with the system. And, you know, it was a brother out of D.C. called Brother Kush. And I listened to what he said. And you know what? Brother Kush was absolute. He said, you know, Neely Fuller said, if you don't understand white supremacy, then everything else will confuse you.
Right.
But Brother Kush took it a step further. He said, if you don't understand Zionism, then everything about white supremacy will confuse you. And poor.
Yeah.
Because they don't, because those Anglos, they don't even understand.
That's right.
They being played.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother, I'm telling you, man, I just called to wish you a safe and prosperous weekend.
Thank you, my brother.
Try to find something to smile about. Try to, you know, put on a comedy or something. You know what I mean?
No, I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a lot of laughter. In fact, I'm on the program tomorrow at Garvey Day, I'm going to have a great day of seeing brothers and sisters but honestly though, Ralph, you're right, because sometimes I get on this radio and it's like like Wednesday and even earlier, man, I be solemn, man, because I'm talking and I'm thinking and I understand, you know, that the problems are immense. I mean, they're difficult. They're difficult. That's why I admire those brothers and sisters who have the patience to try to educate and inform our brothers and sisters for the direction that we must go. I admire Brother Baba Baruti and his wife, Yah. I admire all the other men and women who try to educate our people, and knowing that in spite of the ignorance that we display, you know, that still we love them. We still love them. There are people.
Oh, you know what? And I'm gonna practice a little patience and tolerance too, Oshi.
Right on.
I'm gonna go and talk to one of your former guests that laid me out, that laid into me, and I'm gonna offer him an olive branch. I'm gonna say, "Look, brother, I can help you out. I'm not even looking. Let me look at your system here, and let me see if I can give you some words of wisdom and some advice from a professional. Even though you told me you don't want my help, I'm going to help you anyway, because think if this thing ever come into,
if it ever comes about, I
know I offered my assistance in getting it done.
Right on.
You know what I mean?
Right on.
So I'm going to offer off olive branch to this brother.
Okay.
Curse me out and do whatever you want to do. That's all him. I'm doing it because I believe that vision he's saying.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
I believe in it.
Yeah, that's why I gave
I
him.
Believe
yeah,
in
me too, because that's why I donated. You know, but I ain't going to do nothing right.
Yeah. But
I ain't going to do nothing until I see it happen. Yeah, I do too. So, I do too. I ain't going to do nothing until I see.
Hey, Ralph,
so I'm not going to.
Matter of fact, I think I'm going to go over there right now. I'm going to ride right past there right now.
Okay.
And see if he out there. And I'm going to offer him an olive branch. Now, if you see us. You see the news tonight with an old 60-year-old man knocking out a 40-year-old, and you know he got smart.
Right on.
Yeah. So, all right, then, brother.
All right,
you
man.
Take care. Have
you
a good
too.
Weekend.
You too, all dear right? brother. Thank you, Ralph.
All right. Peace, brother.
Peace. I hear you. Offer an olive branch. Right on. Because he needs the help. And let's hope that he accepts it. And more importantly, let's hope that what he talks about comes to fruition. We need it desperately. You know, but, you know, Marcus Garvey, I remember when I first heard about Marcus Garvey, it was in the late 60s, not in school, no, not in the Milwaukee public school system, probably not in any private parochial or whatever school systems that were also around at that time. You know, you wouldn't have found out of Marcus Garvey. It came about because I was in this program teaching young kids. I was a teenager. Teaching young kids about their history in a particular community in Milwaukee, you know. And I learned about not only Marcus Garvey, I learned the red, black, and green. I learned the anthem. I learned all of these things. That was a summer of my awakening. And even though that's always been there, always will be there, and I always thank Sister Virginia Grant Stamper. May God be pleased with her work. I loved her. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful spirit. And, you know, she made a transition. I had the honor to pour libation at her memorial. And believe me, it is an honor. And so I started getting off into it even deeper when I came on the fire department. And became a member of a number of organizations, because understanding that's how things get done, through organizations. And probably one of the great organizers in our history as a people, in more contemporary terms, because I can't speak about how great organizers we were as Africans, particularly in ancient Kemet and other African societies that were world organized. You know, to do what they did to build for eternity. I always say that the ancient Kemetic society, or what the Greeks called Egypt, was built on four things. Study, because they studied everything. Study, communications, cooperation, and organization. Study, communication. They communicated with one another clearly. Cooperation. They didn't diss one another. They didn't say, no, they cooperated. They could not have built what they have built that lasts forever. It wasn't proven not to be built by anybody in servitude. They were built by the people in honor and respect for the pharaohs or gods and kings. Study, communications, cooperation, and organization. And Garvey understood that. That's why he was a master in organizing. I mean, doesn't that boggle your mind that he had a membership of over 3 million people? Over 300 organizations worldwide? Doesn't that boggle your mind that he got 25,000 people in 1920? Hell, we can't get 200 people and we have all of this stuff. Maybe that's the problem, huh? All these distractions, all these other things. Also, too, all of our people, excuse me. Also, too, a lot of our people, I like to use the correct terminology if possible. A lot of our people have bought into this. They believe they too sing America. Remember when I mentioned
It's got to be understood. The greater work for the most work for the greater good. The greater good for the most people. Well, look what we have here. I've stated many times about our situation using 100%, where 80% of us, 40 of the 80 are at or below, 40 of the people are you know, at or below poverty. Another 40% are 2 to 3 paychecks below poverty. That's 80%. But yet the 20% of us is the one that has the shine. They're the ones that have the ability to promote and project and so forth. The 20%. Giving the idea that our situation is not bad. And also giving the idea that you too, with hard work, you know, by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, could be a part of that 20%. And when they talk about, particularly Trump, talks about this unemployment, the greatest unemployment since you were, only unemployment that beats that when you were enslaved, which we wish you were. And that's a fallacy. That's a lie. But if, you know, you count minimum wage jobs, menial jobs, entry-level jobs, and so forth, they're not livable, wage-sustaining jobs. That, to me, is most, particularly for adults. If you're going to give an unemployment, you got to say, as adults, for this age on, here is the real deal of livable wage jobs, life-sustaining jobs. Here is the real percentage. That's what they should do. But the economics, that's what Garvey was about, too. Two things, education and entrepreneurship, education, and economics. Once again, my good brother and good friend, Dr. Conrad Wuerl, we must revisit the Garvey economic model. Marcus Mosiah Garvey was born August 17, 1887 in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica. The organization he founded, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, in Kingston, Jamaica in 1914, was one of the greatest organizations that facilitated mass action of African people worldwide in the 1920s and the 1930s. In this present era of economic and educational onslaught against the African community in America, it is important that we understand that the rise of the African-centered education movement should be linked to our quest for economic independence. The African-centered education movement should be linked to our quest for economic independence. Ashe. We must free the African mind through African-centered education activities so that we might better understand the importance of economic self-reliance. One model that we can draw strength from in pursuing economic and education liberation is the model established by the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the Negro Improvement Association, the Universal Negro Improvement Association in the 1920s. The more I read and study about Marcus Garvey, the more I'm amazed at the great contributions he made to African people to become a self-reliant and self-sufficient people. At the core of Garvey's program was his urging of African people to acquire education and economic power. As he always stated, a race without power is a race without respect. When we examine the economic conditions of Africans in America and throughout the world, we find one glaring problem. African people do not control our economic resources at the levels that we should. This is primarily due to our miseducation as a people. In a disproportionate manner, African people depend on European and Asian world for food, clothing, and shelter. More often than not, the European and Asian worlds are the producers, processors, distributors, and wholesalers. African people are the consumers. And having been able to travel the world to a small extent that I have, and this ain't long time ago, this is present. That's what it is globally. This was one of the major problems that the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey addressed during his lifetime, and that the minister also too, many of our African leaders continue to address. As our ancestor, Dr. Tony Martin, writes in his book, Race First, which is one of the best books written on the works of Marcus Garvey, he said, Marcus Garvey, unlike his major rivals in the United States, built a mass organization that went beyond civil rights agitation and protest and based it upon a definitive, well-thought-out program that he believed would lead to the total emancipation of the race from white domination. So he wasn't talking about going out here marching, begging, and pleading, lock arms, and thinking things would get better in little incremental parts and pieces. And no. Damn that. Let's educate ourselves. Let's build and do for ourselves. Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. What you will. Do you have the will to do it? To implement his program, Garvey set up the Negro Factories Corporation, the NFC. Its objective was to build and operate factories in the big industrial centers of the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, and Africa. The NFC established a chain of cooperative grocery stores. Once again, I read it before, I'll say it again. A chain of cooperative, which means pulling our monies together. Not one single owner, not one single family, all of us paying into it. Let it become viable and work for all of us. Grocery stores, a restaurant, a steam laundry, tailor, dressmaking shop, and a publishing house. Mr. Garvey also established a steamship company, the Black Star Line. He envisioned a fleet of steamers carrying passengers and establishing trade amongst African people of the United States, Central America, Caribbean, and on the continent. In the summer of 1920, Garvey launched his full-blown program at the first annual convention of the UNIA, of which he was the founder and its first president general. On August 2nd, 1920, after a massive parade of thousands of well-drilled uniformed ranks of UNIA, 35,000 delegates from all over the United States and some 25 countries convened at Madison Square Garden. 25,000 in New York City. It was, according to the New York Times, one of the largest gatherings in the history of the hall. Dr. Martin explained that central to the ideological basis underpinning Garvey's program was a question of culture. For Garvey, the African man was universally oppressed on cultural grounds, and no matter how much people try to shy away from the issue, the fact is it is still that way today. It is culture. It's not race. There is no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. There's only one race, if you want to use that term. That is the human race, of which African people are fathers and mothers of. It is cultures. Europeans imposed their culture on other people when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. They didn't come there to share. They didn't come to bargain. They didn't come there to trade. They came to take. And they were going to impose their culture. Part of their culture was the theology that they were going to bring. Part of their culture was the monetary system, governmental system, their culture. They weren't going to infuse it with what you have. They didn't give a damn what you had. They didn't give a damn what you believed.
They were going to impose their culture. Dr. Martin explained that central to the ideological base underpinning Garvey's program was a quest of culture. For Garvey, the African man was universally oppressed on cultural grounds, and no matter how much people try to shy away from this issue, the fact is, it is still true today. As Malcolm X used to say, it was our Africanness which caused so much hell, not our identity as Elks, Masons, Baptists, or Methodists. They don't oppress us because we're Omega Psi Phi or AKA or Delta Sigma Theta. They don't oppress us because we're the NAACP or Urban League or Black Panther Party or the National Black United Front. They don't oppress us because we went to Harvard, Yale, or Howard, or Clark, or Morehouse. They don't oppress us because we're Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah Witness, Church of God in Christ. They don't oppress us because of those things. One fact of oppression is because we're African. That's why, period. If we were ever to become liberated people, this idea must be deeply rooted in the day-to-day organizing and mobilizing of our people as we seek economic and educational liberation. Far too many Africans in America have abandoned the idea in their organizing projects. I mean, I understand. I will go to the grave feeling the way I do and advocating the way I do. It is my mission in life. This is what I do. This is what I've, after studying, after looking at it, this is what I understand clearly, what I believe sincerely. There is nothing more important, as far as I'm concerned, than the independence, the self-determination, the liberation, and the sovereignty for African people. Nothing. I repeat, nothing. Two mechanisms that will help bring that into being is the education that we have for ourselves. When Malcolm said, education is our passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare today. And I've seen that on school walls and so forth, but I've seen it in schools that, of course, they don't teach liberating education, because Malcolm understood that it's the right kind of education. It isn't education. No, it's the right kind. It's liberating. It instills the hopes and dreams of a people. The right kind of education that we give to ourselves. Carter G. Woodson understood it. Garvey understood that the foundation of our liberation was economic and educational independence based on cultural solidarity. There are numerous lessons we can learn from the legacy of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Without economic independence tied to the acquisition of political power, African people in America and African people everywhere will continue to be the subjects of the whims of other people. In this regard, Garvey said, you can be educated in soul, vision, and feeling, as well as in mind. To see your enemy and know him is part of the complete education of man. Develop yours and you become a great and full of knowledge as other fellows without entering the classroom. Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Once again, an article for my good brother and friend, Brother Conrad Worrell. As he sent out two articles in the crusade dealing with the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Thank Conrad.
members of the black. In fact, on his birthday, he was asking brothers and sisters to make a donation to the Black United Fund, the National Black United Fund, which is also located in Chicago, as well as the National Black United Front. Because the reality is, nobody's going to do this but us. Nobody is going to do this but us. And if we don't do this, you know, when you have children, and then they have children, and they have children, and so forth and so on, you hope that at some point, as a Pan-Africanist, as a cultural nationalist, you hope at some point that the children, it clicks in them not to fall victim to what's happening in this world. This, particularly this world of capitalism, materialism. You hope that they begin to develop a mindset of service to one another and a belief in one another to reclaim, recapture, and restore the history and culture of African people. You hope that somehow it breaks the ignorance that has plagued us for far, far too long, for centuries, and the distrust amongst one another that has been sowed by the seeds of discord by the agent provocateurs or the Europeans and the Europeans' minions. That's what destroyed Marcus Garvey. All those Negroes. Brother Marcus mentioned Du Bois. You know, Du Bois was an intellectual giant, but he was at the time in his formation of the NAACP in a belief that somehow showing that we could be just as smart as they are, actually smarter, but somehow by doing such can cause a feeling of oneness of humanity. It's hard sometimes to even say this stuff. It is hard. But believing that that could happen, and so therefore we could, share in the theft, in the greed of what Europeans have established. Because his world has the glitz and, you know, and we all, somebody says, yeah, we all like them shiny things, the glitz and glamour. Yeah. But, of course, it'll never happen. But we keep holding out hope, don't we? We constantly believe that that's what's going to happen for us and our children. And now considering that they, you know, let's be real. Let's see, our problem is, you know, one, my Bible, it ain't King Damn James Version, that homosexual, ain't him. My Bible, it ain't the 420 other editions that are out there. It ain't the Catholic Bible, or it ain't the Mormon Bible. It ain't none of those damn books. My Bible is Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. Neely, just like Ralph said, you know, Neely Fuller said, if you do not understand Europeans, Caucasians, how they operate, how they function, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And I have maintained over these years, based on that quote, that we are so damn confused that we're confused in our confusion, and that's how confused we is. Don't have a clue. And so therefore,
It's hard to operate that way, isn't it? But you know, I think that some point in our situation globally, on the continent particularly, throughout the diaspora, that we lay down the gauntlet for us as a people. By that I mean, we make the declaration to the world, we are African people. We're claiming Africa. We're claiming our land back. We're claiming our minds. We're claiming our resources. You want something from Africa, you'll pay fair price. You want to do business in Africa, it'll be fair, because we're a fair people. We ain't looking to Chinese. We ain't looking for Chinese to build roads. We can build roads. We ain't looking for Chinese to build bridges and looking for Chinese to do any damn thing or anybody else. In fact, y'all get out of here while we get our house in order. Y'all get out of here. And if anybody wants to leave with them, y'all go. If anybody wants to stay here in America, y'all stay. But those of us who want to bring Africa back into prominence as a world player, with all that it has, because all that it has, it is a world player. We're going to go home. We're going to go home. Even though Garvey understood, and he said, Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. He understood that many Africans who, through migration or through a forced transportation of enslavement, he knew that. Oh, we got a caller, 447-447. Good afternoon, yes, or good evening.
Good afternoon, good morning, good afternoon to everybody around the world and to you in America. Thank you for taking my call, Brother Ochi.
You're welcome, Brother Paul. How are you this wonderful day, man?
Absolutely. Well, it's slightly overcast here, raining.
Okay.
You know, and I hope the sun is meeting you there.
Oh, yeah. It's hot Atlanta here, brother. It's hot Atlanta. That's for sure. all throughout the Southeast, it's extremely hot. So, I mean.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I know you're running up on time, so I'm not going to take too long. Thanks for bringing and reminding us of the great and honorable Messiah, Marcus Garvey. Yes, Marcus Messiah Garvey. You know, when we talk about these great events, we can be united in the same mentality, in the same tongue, and speak the same truth. You know, because we all recognize that the power of a great man. Marcus Garvey also said that if death has power, let him be the real Marcus Garvey he would like to be. And that in his death, he would be there to help us on the other side to meet our enemies. So therefore, when we speak of Marcus Garvey and we remember him, we all can appeal to the other side for that power. And that's what we must do, Brother Oshie, because as you rightfully put it, tomorrow is the great memorial, the great Earth Day of the great Marcus Messiah Garvey. So therefore, we can come together under that. And we need things to bring us together as opposed to take us apart and divide us. So thanks for that, Brother Oshie.
No, thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for substantiating that, and you're right. That's what he was about, bringing us as African people together no matter where we were. We suffered tremendously. And, of course, you are in the U.K. Even though Marcus Garvey, unfortunately, never set foot on African soil, the closest he got was in the U.K. to Africa, you know, because most of his work was.
Let's look at it like this, Brother Ochi. You can take a lion and you can put it everywhere. You can put it in the New York Zoo, in the London City Zoo, but it doesn't turn into a dog, does it?
That's right.
You know, Africa,
that's right.
We may not be, he may not have set foot on African soil, but you can best believe and you know that Africa was born in him.
That's right.
And he never left him.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what really counts. It doesn't matter where we are on the planet, as long as we remember that the African is in us. Because at the end of the day, our job is to take back the whole world. And that's what we intend to do. Because as long as we leave the power and the control in the hands of the psychopaths, we don't have a chance. So therefore, when we get control of Africa, we must aim to take back the whole world, because the whole damn planet is ours.
That's right. It's crazy, ain't it, man? You're right, Brother Paul.
So, Brother Ochi, you know, I take great pleasure for you allowing me to speak on this wonderful platform. And I much appreciate it. And I know we're short of time, so I'm just going to wrap it up and say, you know, thanks for the great work you do. And thanks for being brave enough to speak the truth. And all the callers which ring in, Brother Ralph, Brother Jay, Brother Marcus, Brother X, and everybody else. It's absolutely fantastic. Thanks for Brother Elliot and everybody else who puts this wonderful platform together. So thank you very much.
Oh, man.
And keep up the good work. Keep
thank
the fire
you.
Burning. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for listening and getting others to listen as well. And hopefully one day, and I know I will see you and meet you, and hopefully have a chance to meet your dad, you know, as well. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for calling in and being a part of what we try to do here to raise the consciousness of our people wherever we are. Thank you, Brother Paul. Enjoy your day tomorrow, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Peace to you. Oh, man, that made my day, Brother Paul called and made my day, man. It's a good folks here. I tell you, I'll do this to the day I expire. It has been something that I guess started happening within me to say that, you know, I'm going to promote being African. You know, when I started wearing dashikis, wearing grand boobas, and changed my name to an African name, and, you know, just wanting to be in Africa, and will move to Africa. Hopefully I can have the mechanism by still being able to broadcast. Hopefully maybe by that time, in a few years, there might be a way to develop some good internet service so I can still do this and broadcast from there. We'll know. We'll see. Enjoy the day tomorrow. Tomorrow's Marcus Garvey's birthday, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Enjoy today. Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, enjoy your weekend, enjoy your day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahodia. Bivuhodio means our victorious destiny. Bivuhodio family, peace.